Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 191. Tony here with Lynn's in the studio. Everyone else decided to take the day off.
Yeah, because they suck.
Yes, fuck them. But we were here to bring you some news and reviews of some of the best in the week. We started off with, a review.
Yeah, Archer and Armstrong, number one preview, actually.
We also got into a beer that they're making off this brand.
Very exciting.
Yep. We talked a bit about Big Hero 6 coming to the TV screen. Some trouble with some movies being rumored. Sony having the new Venom movie. Some spoilers with the new Sandman movie coming about.
We covered Civil War 2 rumors in depth and our event fatigue.
Yep, we also talked about one of my favorite things, Power Rangers. Do, 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 do. And my phone didn't go off today, which was surprising. So sit back and relax and enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode 191, The Perfect Package.
Is your volume down?
No, that's I'm doing that right now.
Oh, okay.
But I already hit record, so if something were to happen in the next 10 seconds.
Like your phone going off?
Yes. No, I silenced it.
You did?
Today. Yep.
I'm so proud of you.
I know. It's a first of many, yes. I guess. I don't know.
You're not growing many. Up.
I know. I don't want to. There's actually something that was good. Fuck, I wish I would have... There was some quote that I had saw earlier about being an adult, but not being an adult, like being a big kid.
Yeah. And you were like, that's me.
Yes, and I was going to actually talk about it today, but...
You forgot.
Yeah. Because
you're a big kid.
Yeah, I was going to say, an adult would have written it down. Right. I didn't.
Oh. So it's just us two today.
Yes.
Yeah. We get some one-on-one quality time.
Who doesn't enjoy quality time with me?
I guess.
I guess everyone else except for you, so you're the only one that enjoys it.
Well, today's young Neil's birthday. Does that mean we have to just start calling him Neil?
Yes, I think he has hit puberty now. Yeah. Actually, Derek will never look like that. He looks like he's in ninth grade still.
I know, eternally, which has to be awesome and also suck.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like either being a vampire in Twilight, like,
right?
You're always stuck in high school, and why the fuck are they going to high school?
It's true. Seriously, they're
creepy
old, yeah.
Old pedophile people.
Oh my god, I never thought about it like that.
Like, they know, they have a lot of knowledge of all the years, yeah. Like, it's not like they just all of a sudden forget, no, I gotta go back to high school. Why?
Yeah, they're just trolling the...
The young tramps?
Yeah, the ones that'll fuck them.
There's so many things wrong with that whole, like, when you really think of it, at least other vampires, usually if they take a chick, they're of adult age, but
right.
Twilight really hit the head on the young vampire-ness.
Yeah.
I think I told you guys, too, the other day, have you guys seen We Live in Shadows?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I recently watched that a couple weeks ago.
So good.
Yeah. Like, that, I feel like I want some buddy vampires to live with.
It was amazing. Of course, it's the people from Flight of the Conchords. So,
of course, that'd be amazing.
Yes, yes.
I did do some adulting this week.
You did?
I went to an event called, it was Friends and Family of Cystic Fibrosis. It's the charity event. Did this huge annual thing that they put on every year, hence annual. That is
right.
The bid for Bachelor and Bachelorettes.
Okay.
I had quite a few friends who were up on the auction block, and you're really not bidding on the person, you're bidding on their package. Some had bigger packages than others.
Oh, yeah.
even some of the smaller packages, though, still it's what you can get out of them. And some had 6 items, some had 30, so like, you know, from okay. 6 to 30 packages.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big difference in size
it
there.
It is.
But
I think 30 might be too much. Yeah. Six could be too small.
Well, see, though, but the 30 package, some people can go in on a package together.
Oh, and, okay. That makes sense.
We ended up raising, we bid on one, and it's $2,300, I think it went for.
Oh, wow.
So there's a group of us that threw in money, really is to get our friend to...
give you his package?
Oh, her package.
Oh, her package?
Yes. But it was all, like, it was all for charity. We all knew we were going to throw in some money anyways. Just which friend of ours were we going to, you know, do it for. And it was a lot of fun. Can't wait to divvy up the goods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you hoping for?
I don't know. In the package, there was some gift cards. There's some tickets. There's some tickets to Laugh Fest to go see David Cross.
Oh, okay.
I wanted that part of it. Yeah, we're going to be gone going to C2E2 then. I'm like, right. Sure, of course, the one thing that I want. There's something in there, I think, about a hot air balloon or ventures. Mm. Like, this is, like I said.
It's legit.
Yeah, my friend, she got a great package, so.
I'm sure she loves to hear that.
Yeah.
What girl doesn't? Well, I went to Fantasticon in Lansing yesterday. It was fun, little con. They do them all over the place. It's like a...
Is that why you named your son Connor? Just to call him Con?
No.
I love cons. And that way your son thinks, she loves me. She actually loves me.
Oh, he knows no. I do.
No, you just love conventions.
Right. Both. But Connor more. Right? Yeah.
But no, I hope he's not listening to this.
He doesn't listen. Good. I've tried to actually... I've tried to get him to, like, come here while we're recording, and he refuses to, because he thinks he's going to hear me say super inappropriate things, and I'm like, how is that different than any other day of the week?
So, how was the con?
It was good. It was a smaller one. It was in a hotel conference area in Lansing, but Dirk Manning was there, Dan Doherty, Jeremy London was there of Mallrats. And other stuff.
We can never judge a con by its size.
No. I mean, yeah. It's all about who they get and the vendors that they have.
How they work it.
Yeah. No, it was good. They did some trivia, which Connor and I sat in on, which was interesting.
Did you win? Were you good
at
it?
We could have won, but we didn't play. We just watched.
That's the lamest excuse ever. I could have won the lottery. I just decided not to.
Well, the prize was like a trivia box, which... in hindsight, would probably be really useful for this show, but...
Yeah.
Sorry. My bad. But yeah. No, it was nice. It was just a nice little low-key, a good warm-up for C2E2 coming up, you know?
Can't wait to that. You know, I was just thinking, like, of all the mystery boxes that I get, which I need to start canceling because I don't need more junk, we could still... That would be just an easy segment just to do, just talk about them. But then again, though... Most people who like them already get them.
Yeah.
Most people that don't, they haven't heard of them, which right. I guess then that would be a reason to talk about them. So I take back everything I just said, but since I'm not going back and editing this, it's there.
This is a train of thought. It's
yeah.
all good.
Yeah, the train of thought that goes one way and then the next way and then goes derails and then somehow jumps back on.
That's how your brain always works, Tony.
Thank you. I know this.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, right?
Yes.
All right, so should we jump in to our review this week?
And our review is kind of a preview.
Yes.
We've always had the option of doing this, but we like to talk about stuff that by the time you're listening to this, you could have it in your hands or hopefully you've already read it. However, this week, we're going to differ out to kind of do a preview because it will tie into C2 and E2 as well with some of the things we talk about later. So why not get down nitty-gritty and talk about The Adventures of Archer and Armstrong.
Yes, from Valiant, of course. Written by Rafer Roberts. And the penciler is David LaFuente. Look at me pronouncing
You
names.
Said something that sounded correct.
Inker, Ryan Wynn, and the colorist is Brian Reber. So there's a big team on this. And you can tell... Not in a bad way. Like, it's very well put together in the art. The art and the style, the story style, match perfectly. And there's not, like, a disconnect between the style that the story is written in and the way the art looks. Sometimes you get those funny books that the art is a little too serious, and it kind of takes away from the funniness of it.
Or the opposite, where the storytelling is serious, and it's just too...
cartoony?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Like, I mean, that's... Really, there's really two styles. It's real or cartoony.
Right.
I don't feel... I mean, there is... I guess, look, like, watercolor-looking type would be one, too, like the flowing, but... Yeah, really, there's the two tones, and that really does tell you kind of what kind of book you're getting.
Right.
But then again, too, Deadpool can be goofy in some books, but he's also drawn in a real, the Marvel style.
Right.
I guess.
It works.
We don't know what we're talking about, because there could be anyway. But this one, in this book, it works.
It works perfectly.
I'll tell you this, though, because it was a little bit... I've never really read Archer and Armstrong. I've read other Valiant books,
right.
But this, for me, was kind of a new beginning. I think I picked up, like... a couple random ones before, but for me, it was a little bit different looking at the cartoony.
Yes.
Because I was like, okay, this is maybe a little less of, like, the team, like, Quantum Woody, like, seriousness type duo, so this is hopefully going to be kind of funny. And some of the jokes within here as well, I was like, okay, in the first couple pages, that was kind of funny, cheesy.
Yeah.
All right, this is the tone that they're setting. It's different than the other Valiant
books. Oh, for sure, yeah. I had heard of Archer and Armstrong before, and I've never read it, but I knew it was more on the comedic side in terms of storytelling. Most of the other Valiant books are definitely more serious in tone. I guess maybe Faith is probably a little less.
Yeah, but it seems like they're trying to put her into... And not to say that there's different levels of their books, but... I feel this is kind of, like I said, standalone. It's not
right.
part of the Unity and, you know,
right.
Harbinger and all the, that type of Man of War.
Yeah,
type
like that universe
setting.
That they're building. Like, I don't even know if this ties into their universe.
Oh, it's got to. I think all their books are. It's just a different
right.
lens to look through it. And, I mean, especially with where they travel to within this.
Yes.
Really allows... for a lot of, you know...
Right.
Thing. But within the first page, getting to it, because we are not going to spoil this as much as possible. However, just it's... they're breaking in, they're stealing wine.
Well, they broke into a place to look for something. And Armstrong is rifling through... So he's with this other guy. The other guy's looking for something specific.
Mm-hmm.
Not booze. But Armstrong is definitely... looking for booze, and he gets really excited when he finds, like, a nice old booze. It's, you know...
But it was where they broke in, which was hilarious, because they're talking about if there's going to be anyone there to stop them or you know, come out with some guns blazing, and the warehouse, restaurant, whatever, literally the name of it means the mafia.
Yeah.
The mafia family. Which then I went back and looked a couple panels before, and I'm like... Yeah, that does mean that...
La Fasciata Mafioso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's stuff like that that you didn't catch it the first time. You got to
right.
go back a few panels. So much of the jokes... Well, you kind of got to know the tone of the characters as well. Archer being a little more serious teenager.
Right.
Who originally was trying to go after Armstrong because he thought he was the evil being.
Right,
but then.
Like, he's a guy that lives forever.
And yeah. then you also have Armstrong, who is an immortal, who just likes to get wasted in...
Man after my own heart. Huge presence, too. He seems like... I don't know what he was like when he was, like, way back in the day, but it seems like he's gotten to the point of I don't give a fuck anymore.
I was kind of thinking of that while reading this. I was like, I guess if I was immortal, too, and living all different lives, I probably would get to the point of... We're in the age of technology. I don't give a fuck, because
right.
whatever I do...
I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
I can do whatever the hell I want. Why not? I can drink a ton of booze. It's not going to kill me.
So, yeah. So knowing that he's had this, though, magic bag of holding...
Oh, my God, yes. So, I didn't even know about that until he starts shoving this crate of booze into it. And I'm like, that's not going to... Oh, it does fit.
It's pretty much where this story revolves around. And... As we were saying, we don't want to give away specifics, but you kind of got to say they jump into the bag.
Right.
And with that being said, the way that it's a crazy, whimsical, fairy tale world.
Yes.
Anything can happen in here.
It's like, oh my gosh, what is that movie with Fred Savage and...
Oh, Something Monsters?
Yeah, where he goes under his bed with Howie Mandel. That's kind of what it reminded me of.
Okay.
For sure, that's what the bag is like.
For me, it reminded me a little bit of Harry Potter. Like the banking Gringotts, because they have all these troll gnomes, whatever, orcs, goblins, working in this place. Which, I was at first like, why the hell are all these creatures in here? What is all this? Well, through the many years of Armstrong fighting people and pretty much putting their bodies in the bag or whatever, there's, you know, trash monsters, which I'm like... Why is there a trash monster? Oh, well, I guess if you have a bag that you can just throw anything in, you just throw trash in, and then the magic of the bag makes trash monster. So thinking, why are there goblins running around? Oh, because they're the helpers of when you want to reach in and pull something out.
They go grab it for him.
Yes,
like
and they know where...
It's intricate system.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I love knowing the rules of the bag so that I can see them try to exploit the rules, which I'm sure is going to happen later on.
Right.
But there's a lot of... I mean, there's the booze room, or there's, like, rooms where secrets, like, one person was in charge of, like, little American dolls. Like,
yes. Yeah.
I would love to have a bag of holding. I'd also love to have a bag of, like, little... I would love to go in and jump in and, like, have fun. As long as there weren't, like, monsters.
Right. There are monsters, definitely, in this bag, though. And that's... The whole middle of the book is all monster-filled. And... it gets into Archer, who knows he's a master of martial arts, taught by his sister, who's in a nun society. Were they masters of martial arts?
Yeah, well, they're both raised to be kind of assassin-type people.
Really fun to think of
that
nuns.
That was one thing I liked, not the pacing, but some of the panel layouts and explaining... His super beyond
abilities.
Yeah.
Where they have like the definitions of the styles that he's using.
Yeah. So you kind of see what he can do, what it takes to do that. Nothing that you could ever apply in the real world, but it's a little bit of added bonus of to not make it seem like he's just some random teen that can just kick ass. Like there's a logical, technical reason behind it.
Yep.
And that was really good pacing.
I thought so too, because. I mean, you could just watch somebody flail around and think that they know what they're doing, but the fact that they're actually trying to educate you on what he's doing makes you feel like he actually knows what he's doing, even though he's a fictional character.
Giant cliffhanger at the end with finding out who's going to be
the big bad.
Yes.
Which I thought that whole interaction between Armstrong and the big bad was so... funny, and I really wish we could talk about it right now because it was the best part of the book. So
I don't know. I still feel the best part of the book was even the way last page when you're like, "That ain't gonna happen."
Yeah.
Nope. She's gonna do the right thing.
Right.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
I am thoroughly looking forward to the bag adventures.
Yes, I'm excited about this book. Actually, I wasn't sure. There was a couple books that I looked at to read, and I. Read this one last, and I was like, oh, God, I hope everybody else wants to talk about this one, too.
Well, I'm glad I'm the only other one out of everyone that wanted to talk about it.
I would have strong-armed you. So, yes, everyone, when it comes out...
You mean
out,
you would have arm-strong me?
Oh.
I see what you did there.
I set you up. I didn't. I'm not that witty. So this comes out, I believe it is...
March 16th.
Okay. So in two weeks. Yep. So right before C2E2.
And I think the reason why it's coming out right before C2E2 is because there is a beer.
Yes. There is a beer being put out by Arcade Brewery, which is based out of Chicago, who also have a really awesome headquarters with tons of video games. But, so it's called, Archer and Armstrong, is it an IPA?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So they're having a release party for it on Saturday night after C2E2 at the Arcade Brewery headquarters. So I think that's really fun, though.
Yeah, there's been a lot of different beers that have been made each year for C2E2. I feel, though, the last 2 years was the same one. It was anti-hero from Revolution.
They did anti-hero, but they thought they had another one to go along with it, too, last year. Yeah.
Okay, maybe there was a different one. I know that I had the anti-hero again, which debuted 2 years ago.
Right. That's become a staple of theirs.
Yeah, so that may be why then that was still there. I don't remember what the other one. Oh, they did something with God Hates Astronauts. I think there was a beer made then, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what it's called, but I remember seeing all the posts and stuff for it.
Yes. Damn it. I love it when breweries can just make beers based off comic books so that makes our booze in a book and pairing stuff so much easier.
It really does.
I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to tasting the beer, especially since it'll be flowing freely at C2E2.
Yes. Not a huge fan of IPAs, but I will definitely give it a try. At the very least, usually at a certain point at C2E2, it doesn't really matter anymore.
Well, you'll be happy to know that it's actually not an IPA; it's a pale ale.
Oh, American pale ale.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm.
So it's an APA.
An APA.
It is still kind of around the. It is 7% alcohol though. So.
Oh shit. Okay.
So you have a couple of those, and that's just like having like a case of Bud Light.
Right.
You get that drunk.
Yes. And less full.
Yes.
I could never make it through a case of Bud Light. I would fall asleep or vomit first.
Really?
Just from the sheer volume of liquid that would be in my stomach.
Have you ever done, now I'm forgetting the terms, there was Century Club?
No.
So Century Club... No, there's Power Hour. So Power Hour, you've done that before?
No.
You know what that is?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's a Liz. Band.
It okay.
No, that's Tower of Power.
You can't even put names of bands correctly. I mean, I understand fucking up on some people's last names that you don't get. But
I remembered,
bands?
I remembered right away.
Those were real words that you could have said in a row.
All right, anyway.
No, power hour for you is where you do a shot of beer, like, every minute for 60 minutes for an hour, which it, I mean, you could slam the beers and everything, but pacing, there's even people that have come out with YouTube videos of, like, doing different, like, skits for a minute that you see. Regardless, it's kind of something that you do pre-drinking before going to parties.
Okay.
And then, like I said, now my mind is a little bit hazy. There was a Century Club where you did 100 shots, so 40 more shots, like 140 minutes.
Of beer, to be clear.
Yes.
Not of booze, because you would die.
Yes, you would. Then there was, I think we called it Centennial Man. It was something that you have a weekend, so we named it a four-day weekend, Thursday to Sunday, to drink 3 cases.
Okay.
That's...
What size cases?
Well, we were saying 30 packs, so doing 90 beers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah. I've only known one person in my life to have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was because he was an ex-Navy SEAL. He had some, like, rigorous training of, like, I can work through this. He looked fucking dead.
Oh, I bet. Oh, my God.
Like, he looked like death. His eyes and everything, but it's this huge camping weekend, and we were just... He there's no way he could have done them all. He probably gave a couple away, but still, he fucking...
That's crazy. I don't know whether to be impressed or disgusted.
That was the same weekend I wasn't drinking beer, then I went through a whole half gallon of Heaven Hill rum in 2.5 days.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And all I ate was
Fun
two
Tony.
Hot dogs.
The whole weekend?
Yeah.
Fun Tony.
That was not a fun after a week of that, but...
Oh my God. Yeah, so everyone go to C2E2 and...
Oh, shit, that's not what we're talking about.
I know, and check out this beer. Or, you know, I guess if you're not going to C2E2, still check out this beer, because you can get it probably from Arcade directly.
Well, enough about adult things.
Okay.
Let's talk about something for the kids.
All right.
Big Hero 6
yes.
is coming to the small screen.
They're making a television show based on it, which I think is a good idea.
Oh, very much so. That... My nephew watches the How to Train Your Dragon series all the time.
Yeah.
Loves them. Big Hero 6 was one of his favorite. I love that movie
as well. I do, too.
That, I think that I would watch this in a heartbeat myself. Yeah. glad that Disney is doing this. Talking to Matt, he was like, "Well, how, like, is it going to be animated this?" And I'm like, "No, they'll be CGI. Just not as movie par CGI." But there's a lot to those characters that want to explore that world. They have some more villains to come in.
It's going to be way easier for them to expand that whole idea than just doing sequels after sequels after sequels.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, when you keep doing movie sequels, the fervor dies out, you know? You get, like, 2, 3. I mean, there's another Ice Age coming out. Who the fuck cares?
Really?
Yeah.
How many Ice Ages do they have?
Exactly. See? You don't ever want to get to that point where somebody's like, how many are there now? Like, Land Before Time. I think there's 100.
There is a new one that just came out. I saw on this direct-to-DVD, like, huge bin, I think, for people to get for their kids for Easter.
Yeah.
With an all-new song. And I forget who it was that sang it, but it was like, that person did a recording for this movie. Like,
yeah.
That was a cash grab.
Yeah. It's, you know, and Land Before Time was a great movie, at least I thought.
Everyone needs to... they need to show their kids this. However, dark as fuck
it
right
is
away.
Super dark.
His mom dying and like, oh, and you got to go off on your own. Giant T-Rex chasing you through the volcanoes.
Yes.
Holy fuck, man. Yeah. I don't know if that was really appropriate for me as a kid.
It was so good, though. And now I feel like it's just so dumbed down. There's only so much you can do, I think, after a while. So them going the TV series route, I think, is really smart. Because these are going to be awesome characters to follow in the team.
Yes, I love teams.
I do, too.
And I love the new Power Rangers team.
Yeah, the movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Coming to CW.
Yes. So the picture they posted of the cast online of them all standing on a rock or something, it definitely looks like...
that or like an ad for Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yes.
It looks...
well, they don't look strung out enough to be an ad for Abercrombie and Fitch, but... they are diverse enough to maybe.
Well, what I love even more is they're not all color-coded.
Right. You can't tell who's who by looking at that picture.
Except for, like, I'm assuming that they are the flannel Power Rangers, because, I mean, a lot of cross-faded, like, colors here.
It looks like maybe this also could have been made in the early 90s based on their clothing choices.
Oh, very much so. Well, besides mocking the picture, though, looking at the cast, I mean, they definitely are not, and they aren't doing the race towards color of their Zord type thing.
Right.
They still have the personalities of, Billy and Jason and all of them, but, like, in a different person that's going to be portraying them on the screen. Now, what I really want to see is the suits, though.
Right.
And as well as knowing, like, which Zords, I've heard everything is it's going to be about the main Power Rangers, obviously, is, but are we going to get new Zords, or is it going to be of the original Megazord?
Right.
There's a lot of this movie that is kind of not in secrecy, but it's not come to light, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of it.
Yeah.
The only thing I can get is then the comic book.
Right.
Which...
number one just came out.
Yeah, and great.
Yeah.
Fucking loved it. And that's where it's like, I know that this, even if they have some cheesiness involved with it,
they're gonna have to,
but I don't want them to. That first Power Rangers movie was badass without the cheesiness.
That's true.
Ivan Ooze and all that.
Yes, I did enjoy that one.
That's where, as a kid, my favorite song forever is Van Halen Dreams, because at the end they play it while they're watching the fireworks and like Power Rangers won, and just thinking of that makes me filled full of joy and like happiness.
Aww.
And like, I can save the day too, just give me a giant fucking robot and I'll do it. So the book's going, like, if they even follow what they're doing within the books of slightly changing the show, yes, definitely update it.
Right.
I'm so on board for this movie.
Well, with the technology the way it is now and it being on a movie budget instead of a TV show budget, it's going to be really interesting how good the Zords are going to look.
Well, and that's the thing, though. They've had, and everyone can say that first Power Rangers movie kicked ass, was good. They've had the other Power Rangers movies that didn't do so.
There have been other Power Ranger movies?
Yeah. There was then the Turbo, and then there was one other one, I forget, that was in theaters as well. And those did not go well at all.
Ew.
And even looking at the animations, they look a little bit better than they did for the TV shows.
Right.
However, it looks still like shit.
Right.
And you give some good money to just make the Zords look like they are giant robots.
Yeah. We know it can be done.
Yeah. We've seen Transformers.
Yeah. Pacific Rim. I mean, there's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pacific Rim. That would be a badass.
Hell yeah. It would be really nice to see them not look all blocky, like maybe somebody built them with Legos.
Like, I feel like my whole last year or 6 months was on, like, the Deadpool kick lookout.
Yes.
I think now I've switched...
Oh, you're switch gears now, Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Do we know when that's set to come out?
I want to say next year.
Is it? I'm really excited that... I don't know. I remember if we ever talked about this, that Elizabeth Banks is going to be in it.
Oh, is she Rita?
Yeah. Yeah. Which at first I was like, but Elizabeth Banks can do anything. So it's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hope she has her... Just a picture. I was going to say, she's hot. And if she has her Madonna nipple cones, she's even hotter.
Oh, we know what Tony's going to be thinking about later.
Later? I'm thinking about it now.
Oh, jeez. Okay, well, should I leave or... No?
No.
Okay. All right. So, some sad nerd news this week. The creator of R2-D2 died, Tony Dyson, like the actual guy who built all the original R2-D2s, died this week.
I reading this, I was like, that is sad. I couldn't help but kind of just think of, like, Dyson, like, the last name, like, that is synonymous with, like...
Vacuum cleaners?
Yes. And looking at R2-D2 as, like, being a vacuum cleaner... I was like, no wonder he maybe founded that company after, like, I don't know. I know that has nothing to do with each other.
No, I don't think it does.
But my mind went there, and I felt happy because Dyson should jump on board and make an R2-D2.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. I'm thinking
just because of his last name.
Yes,
but.
Yes. So, yeah, sad day in nerd culture. R2-D2, of course, is the linchpin of the Star Wars universe. So
totally should have started that off by saying R2-D2 is dead or something like that and really sensationalize it.
R2-D2 can't die. He just powers down. We learned that.
Yes. Well, sometimes things rise from the ashes.
Oh, shit. Are we going to talk about Jean Grey?
Oh, we're just going to talk about the teaser for the new Civil War, which I don't know why they're... X-Men had very little to do with the Civil War.
Right, yes.
Because back when... Here's the thing. Me and Derek, we haven't really read X-Men in over a year now.
Yeah.
After the AVX thing, we were just kind of like...
Right.
The writing went down back... When Civil War happened, though, which what was doing with the X-Men, when they went, got decimated.
That's when they were doing the...
The 198.
Yes. Okay. Yep. That was... I loved that.
Phenomenal writing. And then even how much Schism sucked, that they actually broke apart the teams, though, into different factions. Schism sucked, but the aftermath of it was great.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I don't even really care to get back into the X-Books. Nothing is appealing to me right now. And... What is this? The Phoenix?
Yeah. So, okay. So I read the X-Men because I fucking love the X-Men.
So you're still reading them?
Yeah.
So what's going on? Is there Apocalypse coming back or Apocalypse War?
They're doing Extraordinary X-Men is the one I'm reading. No. I'm trying to remember. There's still... It's funny because they said they were going to narrow down all the X-Men books to like a couple and there's still a shit ton of X-Men books. But in the one I'm reading, the team is Young Jean Grey, Old Man Logan, Storm, Magic, Colossus, Forge, a couple other people. And they're, because of the Terrigen Mists causing the mutants to get sick. And
yeah, I liked how it right away was like poison and was killing them, and now it's kind of like... That was a big fucking cloud that they showed went over. Now they kind of, like, scaled back on how bad it was.
Right.
Like, just getting them sick.
Yes. Well, and so humans are afraid that they're going to be able to get this M-pox, is what they're calling it, from mutants. So they're going through this whole new anti-mutant campaign.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So, and they live in hell. Well, they don't. They live in, like, a layer of hell, but which is kind of interesting. It's where the Xavier Academy is now. But they had brought, Hank McCoy, Beast, had brought the young X-Men, original X-Men, back to stop Cyclops because he was going crazy and trying to kill everybody.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Then I did lie. Yeah, well, I've read that.
Yeah, and then they got stuck here. And then they did the Trial of Jean Grey, which was probably one of the best things I've read X-Men-wise in a really long time.
Oh, really?
And she manifested new powers while she was on trial for the Crimes of the Phoenix, which she hadn't done yet because she was young Jean Grey.
How, like, new powers, like, in same old powers, Jean Grey?
She manifested, like, a blast, like a telekinetic blast.
Okay.
Which she never had before. Like, super powerful. And I thought when it was happening inside, I was like, oh, my God, she's going to go Phoenix during the Phoenix trial. And it didn't happen. But I'm nervous about this teaser image of Jean with the Phoenix.
No problem with her becoming the Phoenix again. That is kind of her role as the vessel. It's an inevitability of her just being here, of it finding her.
Well, yeah, she's the perfect host, supposedly.
The thing that I have a problem with is this. They will do the same story.
Yeah.
Every time the Phoenix comes back, it is the same rodeo.
Right.
And it's annoying. Except for, I guess, when it did come back.
And it inhabited, like, Scott.
The five others.
Yeah.
Before he then started taking over. Then that was cool.
Right.
And that was a bit different. And that was something I did not see coming. Yeah. But then that kind of just piddled out.
It did.
And we last saw him with the Phoenix Force in the giant Secret Wars. And he got zapped out of existence. If we are to say that everyone that was in Secret Wars has come back now to this Marvel Universe that was created,
mm-hmm.
does he still have that?
Cyclops?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
In which case, it doesn't make sense.
Well, Cyclops is dead.
Is he? Wait, he is still dead?
He is still dead.
Oh, fuck
yeah. Well,
because
there's still... Well, there's young Cyclops.
Okay.
Obviously. At the beginning of the run that I'm reading now, Mr. Sinister...
Mm-hmm.
It was trying to cure mutants of the virus and make them stronger by merging inhuman DNA with mutant DNA, and it was just fucking people up. And
well, you know what
one
I'm saying,
of them though? Was Cyclops.
Well, you
he
know what
stole
I'm saying,
Cyclops'
though,
body.
Taking like alternate realities and everything, you have your Marty McFly. You're the main person, Marty McFly,
right.
That if you all of a sudden died in the future, well, you're dead.
Right.
You're not going anywhere, regardless if someone else changed things. Your embodiment, if we are to believe that, like, the Doom now of the Marvel Universe or the Tony Stark are the same exact people that were in Secret Wars world, they were the main canon people.
Right.
Granted, there was multiple of them in different areas, but Doom being one of the main people. We know that the Fantastic Four, their family is on the outskirts of the universe. They are the same people. They have all their memories of the years before. Regardless of having your memories or not, you are... What makes you you,
right.
you. And anyone that died at Secret Wars, these people here on Earth are not them.
Right.
You could say, which then is kind of like, not a reboot, but to say that everyone that this Doctor Strange did before was him. No, that was what the Doctor Strange did before he got blown to smithereens by Doom.
And this is a different one.
Yes. So saying, like, because there was other people, that like Miles Morales, he was on there. You assume this is the same Miles that went through Secret Wars, just mind-wiped.
Right.
There's a Peter Parker, his same mind, except for mind-wiped, going on. Or you're saying that none of that shit actually happened. So if none of it did happen, Cyclops would still have the Phoenix egg.
Right.
And not have turned into it, but when he got there, he turned into the Phoenix as well. What, like...
Yeah, I don't...
Time travel. parallel universes. The Twilight Zone.
I think the whole idea behind that they've tried to build behind the Phoenix is that unless you are like the perfect host for the Phoenix, it's going to corrupt you and you're going to.
But it corrupts Jean like every half a century.
She has better control of it than most people do.
Yeah,
I think the only person that actually controlled it better was Rachel Summers, and it didn't stay in her very long either. but yeah, I don't know. The first Phoenix story was. Amazing and revolutionary, and it introduced Kitty Pryde into the X-Men universe, and It made Jean a better character to read, because mm-hmm. before she was just your damsel in distress who could read minds, and that's all she could do. So the fact that they keep trying to recapture that over and over and over again just, I think, lessens the effect of the power behind it.
Well, this just goes into one part of this tangent that I kind of want to go on, where this was one of the spoilers. I saw another one with She-Thor and saying, like, fight the future or whatever.
She-Thor.
To differentiate which Thor is Thor. And that one, like, they're all talking about this protect the future, fight the future.
Right.
What's going on? And where this kind of goes into speculation and not how true, maybe, you know, rumors. There was some rumors on BleedingCool.com, which kind of are, like, saying for Civil War 2 and how it's just going to be shitty.
Right.
We don't know if this is true or not. There's obviously been no one from Marvel.
It's pure speculation.
However, the speculation, this being posted over 2 months ago, is coming true.
Yeah.
He, I forget this... person, NeoGaf.
That's the online website. Screen. Yeah. Boogie Woogie is the poster.
Wait, what's his name?
Boogie Woogie.
It's funny when you say it. It's going on about how there's some inhuman named Homer, which that... Okay.
Cool. He can, see the future?
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
But
yeah.
That Carol Danvers takes him to, like, almost be like a precog and try to fight future battles before they even start. It does seem good in theory, but then obviously that corrupts. It goes into some spoilers of some major superheroes dying, one of them being Rhodey, and then the other Jennifer, She-Hulk, and Rhodey being War Machine. And it goes into about other things about Jessica Drew has her baby at this point, finally.
I would hope so.
Yes. you don't know who's on which team, but with Carol wanting to look into everyone's future, the Ultimates then are going to come in, are trying to help her with trying to prevent the future and stuff. And then it just kind of gets to where Tony, who's a futurist still, you know, why he doesn't want to use Homer for everything.
Right.
He wants things to naturally progress. So there goes your grounds that are set for this Civil War. Should we use this technology? Should we not?
It's an interesting concept.
But like I said, don't even know if this is true. However, with getting into the whole Jean Grey thing, which is one of the rumors that this person had posted about having a big impact on... Even though they were side characters in the first Civil War, it leaves me with thinking that if all the rest of this is true, it's not going to be that great.
Yeah.
We don't need to have another Civil War.
No.
Why is it that every other year, superheroes are fighting superheroes? Back in the day, there was an event, and that was cool, but it was like once a year.
Right.
And yes, it is, you know, the trope of you meet a superhero, you have to fight them because you think they're your enemy, and then, like, oh, we're going to team up and be better than our oneselves.
Right. So do you think that these movies that they've been putting out, these huge, spectacular movies, are killing just your everyday storylines, and that
they feel
the need to do events all the time to
keep
up?
No, they've been doing events just since the late 90s just to do events to try to sell more books or renumbering. But their events are shitty, and they need to focus more on their line and do some maybe cross events in there. Not a whole Marvel thing. You don't need to have the X-Men books come into an Avengers books.
No.
And with that, you don't need to have them fighting each other every fucking year.
No.
Like...
Peace, man.
I get it if Venom showed up to Spider-Man, who, even though they have been, you know, reconciled, like... Yeah, you don't trust them a bit. You might have them maybe accidentally do something that looks bad.
That's like a two-book event, though. You can wrap that up pretty quickly.
Or really, like, anyone with Deadpool, there's a few characters where it seems natural. But that Wolverine would be always untrusting of someone. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was... because if it was legitimately a Spider-Man-Wolverine book, at some point, you know they're going to fight. I've never seen a team-up book where they don't.
No.
What would possess both of those two to fight?
Yeah.
It's... so that they're having another Civil War. The first one was...
it was amazing.
Perfectly. It was so good. How it was set up and... mm-hmm. And the whole premise of the entire thing, it was flawless.
Yeah.
Which is why they had those few events. Like I said, they could... maybe my mind's, you know... those events, though, were set... they were connected, and they were so good.
Right.
But they also had an overall plan.
Well, yeah. So the first Civil War was, I mean... the idea, I think, was bigger. You know, this wasn't a decision on whether to see into the future or not. This was a bunch of kids got killed at a school because nobody knew that there were superheroes living in their neighborhood, and they wanted to be reality stars, so they fought, and they killed a bunch of kids. So, should we know whether superheroes are living in our neighborhood or not? kind of like pedophiles. But this seems more of like a... it's like a quarrel. You know, you don't need to go into a whole huge battle just because you think you should be able to look in the future and you think that you shouldn't.
And you just don't need to... I mean, I guess there's really no other good, like, title for the event.
Right.
But, yeah, Civil War made you a lot of money. Yes. People still talk about it.
Well, they didn't. They made it into a movie.
Yeah, you don't need to make... another Civil War in comic books to try to sell more.
Why does it need an event title? Why can't this just be a story that plays out over the books?
Well, I think mainly because of... well, I wonder how much of this is going to be reflected in the movie, though.
Oh.
Because it's coming out around the same time.
Right, yeah.
And you would think if it is, they want to have some resemblance. If not, why the fuck are you doing it?
Right.
But who knows what Marvel's thinking.
Who does know?
I hope that doesn't suck. But then, I guess I'm looking forward to my next Infinity Gauntlet series, because we all know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
With that coming out in a couple years, so can almost predict the next event that's going to happen. Like,
it's true. They go through cycles. So we'll see another Secret Wars.
That's what they do go through cycles. They go through a great event to this was piss poor. You just threw this together to make an event happen.
Yeah.
Then we'll have something even better. But I'm sick of I'm just sick of events. And every single person has said that. It does feel like it's being spread out a little. Actually, it is spread out a little bit more because technically, Secret Wars would have ended back in October-ish.
When it was supposed to.
It would have been, a good while. So maybe it feels so rushed because...
well, Secret Wars was so big, too, so it wasn't just like a couple crossover series. Like, it took over the entire... Marvel Universe and comic books. So it wasn't just like an event that you could choose to ignore if you wanted to. If you were reading Marvel, you were reading Secret Wars, essentially.
Well, Justice League, their movie has their problems with what they've made now of... and I don't even know the correct term how to say it, but I think they're throwing too much into it.
Right.
When you don't need to.
No.
Just enough is great. And throwing all these, you know, characters in. So there's been talk about, well, Green Lantern, is he going to show up? When's he going to show up, you know? Because when you're making it into comic books, you can kind of go with any type of can. You can change some things a bit slightly, and it's comic books.
Right.
With the movies that DC is trying to make of the more realist nitty-gritty.
Yeah, Green Lantern doesn't really fit into that.
No, because he's fucking bad. He'll be power. He is a god.
Right.
How do you... I mean, he would be toe-to-toe with Superman, it would seem.
He could be, yeah.
I mean, I feel like he is still super powerful within the realm of the comic books, but you have, like, a Batman that can just, like, take him down or whatever. But if you're making this in more a real sense, you can't give Batman the every single plausible, I had a backup plan for this.
Yeah.
That's just a little too far-fetched, even for the movies.
Yeah.
So Batman's got to be a little real, too, where he can be like, we'll power this, we'll power that.
Well, yeah, and if they're building... so they're building the Justice League, essentially, with these movies. And there's no way, like, Bruce Wayne has all the insight. Like, he doesn't even know who Wonder Woman is.
Yeah.
And she's been around for forever, it seems, based on the trailer I saw for her movie. She's been in the United States for a while. How does he not know who she... There's an Amazon goddess living among him.
I mean, I do realize, okay, the advent of superheroes, or supers, I forget what they call them, metas, is now prevalent with Superman being there. That and Batman has, we're going to say Batman has fought, because he's supposed to be an older Bruce Wayne-ish. Right. So he has fought, like, Killer Croc and other mutated beings. So he knows that there are people that can have powers. Yes, they haven't shown them that much, but you would still think he's starting to, like, kind of be like, what else is out there?
Right.
An Amazonian, you know, culture would be kind of one of those things that, he would research.
You would think. I mean, he is a playboy, so you think he'd know about the land of women. But, I don't know. I know that Aquaman is making an appearance in this movie, right? Is the Flash? The Flash is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
But Cyborg?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's going to be in it.
Yeah. So, and this is what, a 2-hour movie? 2.5-hour movie? Or
yeah, I think it's 2.5, yeah. But...
Are we talking, like, extended, like, going into part 2 as well?
I don't think they're having a part 2 of this.
Okay.
There's so much of this movie, though, I've still kind of just been like, eh, I am going to go see it for as much... Some of the new trailers of Batman kicking ass just makes me want to go see it.
Right. I think I'm more excited about the Suicide Squad movie than Batman versus Superman. But that's just me.
Well, Sony has officially said they're going to make a Venom movie.
Really?
Yep.
Venom standalone movie.
Yes, and that's the part where kind of like, what?
Right.
Standalone movie.
How?
Well, they very well could with doing, like, Agent Venom.
Right, but you have to start with Venom.
Yeah, and you got to start with where did Venom come from, and they haven't really established him except for in the shots of what they're making their... I guess Peter Parker's going to have another reboot.
Right.
1, 2, 3... This will be, like, the 4th reboot, I feel.
I think it's only the 3rd. Right? So we had the ones from the early 2000s.
Okay, yeah, it's the 3rd.
And then we had the Andrew Garfield ones.
Which I thought weren't bad, but those are more Ultimate line. But yes. Then again, too, though, I think Marvel's kind of getting away from that since there is no Ultimate Universe anymore. Without having Spider-Man in the Venom movie, and them saying that we're going to be away from that franchise, that's the whole reason why I've loved Venom, was because he was connected to Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
He was, like, he was evil, but, like, not evil at times. He was just
it's like
bully.
A chaotic force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to see that true battle happen.
Right. I want to see a Spider-Man that gets the symbiote and then doesn't, like, improv dance in a diner. With emo hair. Like, I want to see that Spider-Man with Venom, not the previous incarnation we were giving, which was...
Well, you know what I really want to see? Is Dream.
Oh.
I want to see Dream on the big screen.
In the Sandman movie.
With the... I feel like it's the biggest 180 news cycle.
I know.
It was less than 12 hours. A couple days ago, they had announced that things are going forward with the new Sandman
movie. Yeah, they had a new writer.
Yep. And
who just, I wasn't super excited about, to be quite honest with you.
No
but.
One really is. And here's... something that I'd read is... You can't blame a writer, good or bad, for the final product of a movie.
That's true.
Because once, it could be the best script in the world, once producers, once execs, once everyone else has their say in it,
right.
That script could totally change.
That's 100% true.
Then it could be, too, that it was a shitty script and there was some good meddling, but rarely meddling...
is positive.
That's where, like, the Deadpool movie, worked so well because they didn't have as much interference. They even went back to Fox to say, if we did this a PG-13 way, could we get some more money? Well, because they actually
said... They'd have to refilm the whole thing.
No, this is with the script, though, and before filming. And what they had said was, because they wanted a few more X-Men, and that's the thing, where they weren't really letting them. So they go, what if we did this a PG-13? They looked at what they had for a script and how they could have cut some... raunchier of the jokes, but it still would have made sense.
Right.
and I'll trust what they're saying, but the studio, just there's like, if they could get a yes, because they were saying no, no, no to everything. They gave the yes to the R, but then nothing else. That when they went back, said, well, wait, we got this PG-13, because you get more money when it's PG-13. You can sell it to more audiences. And the studio still said no. And they said, well, fuck it then. We're still going with this rated R thing.
So smart.
Oh, no.
It is way more
genius.
Money. Yeah.
But as much as all of us have said that a PG-13 movie wouldn't have worked, I do feel with the help that they had in the direction that they all wanted. And this was, I think, even... it was Ryan Reynolds that was saying this, so that's where I trust it, is...
Right.
He was talking about how, yes, we had a PG-13 script that we could have to get a few more characters. It didn't work out, so we went this route. But scripts can be changed for good or bad, and... that's one tangent. I have full hope in this. I believe,
had full hope in this until...
Yeah, till then the news, yes. The other news bit of Joseph Gordon-Levitt has left.
I'm not as big of a reader as Sandman as you and all the other boys that do the podcast mm-hmm. with us, but I trust Joseph Gordon-Levitt 100%. He, to me, can't do anything. I haven't seen him do anything bad, ever. Ever, ever. So it was very exciting to think about, because he was going to produce it too.
He was directing, he was producing, yeah. And he was starring. And that was the one part where I was a little, if he was trying to be Dream, it doesn't work. And that's what everyone was speculating. Okay. People were kind of saying, no, man, JGL, that you're not him.
No.
Sorry, no matter how much makeup, you just have too round of a face. You need to be lanky, gaunt. You need to be David Bowie, Cumberbund, Hiddleston. One of them that has like the jaw that you really need. And when he says like starring in though or whatever, you know what I think though? Because Sandman always like revolved around humans. He could have been the human person that was being messed with. Which, okay then.
Right.
I don't know your script. I don't know what it is. But... you leaving, which this was your passion project, kind of throws the whole thing in disarray.
It really does, and who knows if it'll recover. I mean, fans have been trying, or have been excited about, because this has been, what, rumored? This movie has been trying to happen for a long time now.
And I think now, with how they've had Lucifer on TV, which for some fucking reason people are still watching.
Oh my god, my roommate was watching it the other day, and I was like, what you watching? She's like, Lucifer. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, no, it's really good. I'm like, okay.
I wonder if that has anything to do with some decisions of the direction and that.
Oh,
which I hope they don't. I hope they have no tie-in whatsoever.
It shouldn't.
Yes, they had some brief interactions there, but you don't need to tie everything into everything.
Right. That is true. Things are allowed to be separate. Just because they're in the same universe doesn't mean they have to tie together. Mm-hmm. Let Lucifer be Lucifer.
Well, that being said of tying in, DC Comics is giving away Superman Batman #1 for free in print and digitally right before the release of the new movie.
Superman, Batman, where they're a team?
Yes.
And they're friends?
Yes. And that's where I find it so...
Why?
What marketing... what are you trying to do?
That seems silly. So you're going to give all these people comics for free so that they can learn more about the dynamic
I guess there's no bad news, or all PR is good PR, whatever.
Is this the newer Superman Batman?
Yes, but what I'm saying is, you give it away right before this movie, where then you're like, but in the movie they're fighting each other.
Right.
Because they don't know each other. This one, they're chummy.
Yeah.
It doesn't...
Huh, that's silly. So I read...
Oh, wait. Oh. Oh, are you still going to go on?
Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit more about Superman and Batman.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't ready to...
Jump ship
yet. So I read... Superman Batman when they first relaunched it. I think it was during Convergence, maybe? I don't think it's the same one as the one that they're releasing here, because this one that they're releasing is written by Jeff Loeb, and the one I read was not. And so they fought in that one until they became friends, but it was a really weird, convoluted story, because there were multiple Batmans and multiple Supermans. So I don't know. That probably would have been a better one to release. I don't know what they think they're going to gain from this. More understanding of the plot of the movie? No, not at all.
Well, you know what I got to gain? A lot of free comics.
Yeah?
Yep. Top Cow comics have over 40 comic books, a lot of them being like the first couple issues of their series for free digital downloads right now.
Oh, really?
Yep. So you can go over to topcow.com and...
You just dropped this bomb on me suddenly.
Yeah, well, it was a secret surprise for you and for everyone. And I just learned about it earlier today before recording, but... a lot of them are, like I said, they're number ones. A couple of them are picking up in the series that they've had more recently. Everything from Chronicles of Hate, Cyberforce, Berserker, Think Tank. It's not all of their line, but there's enough to get you reading in some of their new comics. So
that's smart. So guys, go to top. You said topcow.com.
Yep,
that's their website. I'm going to have to check that out.
I haven't read a lot of Top Cow.
Me neither. And
but free is free, and you might as well.
Hell yeah. If you're a smaller publisher and you're trying to get people interested in your books, sometimes you got to give some shit away for free and get people hooked like crack. Oh, awesome. Well, I'll have to check that out. Yeah, booze in a book this week, Tony?
Yes, I do. It is the longly worded Avengers standoff, Assault on Pleasant Hill Alpha number 1, brought to you by Marvel. Which, this is the weird thing. It is an event before an event, like preview event, which I don't feel like I've ever really had, but this is supposed to tie directly into Civil War.
Okay.
But this has revolving around the town that it's like Pleasantville. It's like everything's perfect, but unlike Pleasantville, which have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, it's fucking been forever, amazing. But yeah.
Yeah, so things are a little more nefarious below. Mm-hmm. Revolving around a Rubik's Cube.
That's a weird plot twist.
But once again, it's one of those things where we are so over events. What is a beer that can kind of explain my happiness for something, but then like it almost being overrated because it is?
Yeah.
And so, Oberon.
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
The beer that comes out once a year around us, but yet is marketed nationally everywhere. And we've had Oberon be a beer for many other boozes. Because we used to like it a lot.
Yeah.
Now, though, the taste has just gotten a little bitter. We've had enough of it.
We have definitely had enough of it.
Couldn't explain not the book in of itself, the concept of the, not even the concept of this particular book, just the reason behind why it's being made now. This was made some other time. Cool. It's not bad. It's actually interesting. But we're really pairing it with something that
too much.
Yes.
Too much of a good thing.
Too much, yeah.
Yes. Awesome. Well, excellent. Now I want Oberon, which is weird.
I'll let you have this book and you'll be satisfied.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, final thought for everyone today. People think dreams aren't real just because they aren't made of matter, of particles. But dreams are real. They are made of viewpoints, of images, of memories, and puns, and lost hopes. Neil Gaiman.
Oh.
I love that man. He's got so many good quotes.
He's just an amazing writer. And on that, stay thirsty for event dry spells.